Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WPHT-WPHT-HD-WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right. Well, the first day of Donald Trump's criminal court case in New York City. And he'll be on the show later today. That's right. The 45th president of the United States of America will join us at 5 p.m. today. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We got a big one for you. A lot of thoughts on the trial, which ended early because I guess a juror had a dentist appointment or something. They won't let the guy go to his son's graduation, but I guess a juror needed a dentist appointment or something, so they ended the trial early today. I don't know. But anyway, day number one, the prosecution is alleging that this was election interference. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. They're alleging it's election interference by trying to win. So that's basically the argument of the prosecution, that by trying to win, they're trying to interfere in the election. But that's every campaign. I mean, the job of a campaign is to win. That's why you run. That's the job. Your job is to win. And every candidate, every campaign, there's negative stuff that comes out. So you deal with that. There's no law that says that if there's something negative about a candidate, you have to air it, or you can't try to suppress it or squash it. But that's essentially what New York State is arguing here. You know, this guy who left the Obama or the Biden Justice Department, who's now the prosecutor in the case working with Alvin Bragg, which is why there's, I mean, this coordination between the White House and New York. It's very obvious here. But that's essentially the argument. Like, well, they tried to win, therefore it was election interference. There's no law anywhere that says if a candidate has baggage or if there's negative stuff around the candidate, the candidate got a DUI, if a candidate had an affair, if a candidate went bankrupt, you have to disclose that in a campaign. Nothing like that. So if you have a candidate where, I don't know, he beat up a guy in college and got arrested for it and they don't want it to come out, or you sit around the table, you deal with it, you talk about it, you figure out what the strategy is. According to the philosophy being used here, that's election interference. But based on what? What's the law that backs that up that says, yeah, it's election interference if you try to neutralize something that is negative against a candidate? There's no law like that. And then the argument that if you engage in that, that then anything related to that has to be disclosed on a campaign finance form. And if it's not, it's now a federal offense, which is criminal, even though those things are typically handled in a civil matter. So that's where things stand. And the first guy they brought on the stand today was the guy who used to own the National Enquirer, and David Pecker. And what's pretty telling about this is they said, well, he bought the rights to the story so that they wouldn't publish it. All right. What's the problem with that? Well, they're alleging a conspiracy here to try to really squash the Stormy Daniels story. And what's the problem with that? So what? He bought the story, and people do that all the time. They buy the rights to a story, and then they don't publish it. They buy rights to movies. I'm going to make that movie, and they don't make it. Sometimes studios do that just to make sure another studio can't make the movie. Or they buy the rights to a book so that another studio can't make that into a movie, and then they just shelve it. They never do anything with it. There's all kinds of different things that people do in life. It's not illegal. As far as non-disclosure agreements go, they're signed all the time. Every day. There's probably somebody signing one as we speak right now. Maybe somebody who got canned from their job, or somebody who wound up deciding to leave a contract, go work for another company. And then at that point, they agree to certain terms, non-disclosure. We're not going to talk about the things you did here. In exchange for that, we'll give you severance, or in exchange for this, we'll let you out of the non-compete. But you can't talk about it. It's a hush money. You know, you got to hush up about what you saw, what you did, and your role in all of it. And you agree to that. And it's a contract like anything else. It's a binding legal document you sign. And if you break that, you violate that, then there's liability. I signed an NDA when I went to work on the Trump campaign back in 2015, 2016. But obviously, when he comes on the show later, I know I've seen some negative comments already about the interview will be a softball interview. First of all, I'm not a journalist. I'm an opinion guy. And my opinion is he should win. I want him to win. I want him to be the next president of the United States. I want to do everything I can to help him win. So, and I don't really know exactly what sort of hard questions I'm supposed to ask of him. He's not the president, but I do want to find out his thoughts on Pennsylvania and natural gas, since Joe Biden has waged a war on that, and that affects the state since the primaries tomorrow. I do want to ask him about the border, obviously, since we got fentanyl destroying Philadelphia. I mean, Kensington's like the freaking Walking Dead all the time. But I'm just going to make this point very clear. You see, I'm not pretending to be an unbiased journalist. I'm not George Stephanopoulos, where I worked for Republicans all my life, and then I come on and pretend to be unbiased and neutral. See, that's a load of garbage, and you know that. And everybody knows that. I mean, Stephanopoulos is so biased. It's pathetic. How can you not be, right? I mean, everybody's biased in life, but at least that guy helped elect a president. Well, so did I. The difference is I'm not pretending to be an unbiased journalist. I'm a strong opinion maker with lots of very strong opinions. And my strong opinion is Donald Trump needs to win in 2024 or America is screwed. So I just want to make that point very clear. Because if you're expecting me to talk to him in a manner of which I'm unbiased, that's kind of tough to do because I helped the guy win last time around. If that's a shock to you, if that's a surprise to you, I don't know where you've been. Also, if that offends you in some capacity, then don't listen. Turn off the radio. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I just don't know what to say. When Jimmy Fallon comes on the show, I'm not unbiased against him. I love the guy. So I'm not unbiased. I have a deep affection for the guy. So I'm not going to like grill him and be like, "Well, how are your ratings? Really? Give me break down your ratings for me." I don't make any sense. But some of the other comments I saw too were that how is it an exclusive interview if he's done other shows? Well, exclusive, the term means one-on-one. It doesn't mean that nobody else is interviewing Trump today. It means it's exclusive because it's just me and him talking like old pals. It's not a press pool or anything like that. It's not a gaggle, as they call it in the biz. Not a gaggle. You know, you got a bunch of reporters there. And even if it was, I wouldn't qualify since I'm not a reporter, I'm not a journalist. I do a 4-hour show 5 days a week, most weeks. And I give you strong opinions on things I believe that are usually right. My opinions are often right, always, every time, almost every time. Couple exceptions. But for the most part, they're almost always right. I've called a couple things wrong. I thought Doug Burgum was going to win. Thought he'd be the next president of the United States. Obviously got that one wrong. But other than that, you can forgive a guy for making a mistake. Other than that, my opinions are usually spot on. And the thing about talk radio is we don't pretend. See, the corporate media still pretends to be unbiased, and we know they're not. They have a bias. Everybody has a bias in life. It's very obvious. Everybody has a bias. You're either a bias on the left or the right. Now, some try to massage it a little bit and pretend like they're in the middle. NPR did that for years until that whistleblower came out and exposed them for the leftist frauds that they are. You know, they don't tolerate different opinions, for example. Their whole operation was designed to bring down Trump. You know, they didn't want to do any stories that would hurt Biden, and they didn't want to do any stories that would help Trump. So even when Russia collusion became nonsense, a whistleblower guy came out and he said they wouldn't let us talk about it. And out of 87 editors, 87 of them are Democrats. So National Public Radio, which prided itself on being a place for reasonable moms in minivans and dads in EVs who just wanted down the middle kind of topics and news, not so much. So you got to figure out the bias you can tolerate, and then you got to figure out what degree you can tolerate it. Like, I can't stomach MSNBC, for example, for more than a few minutes. I can't stomach The View. I just, these things are very difficult for me. You know what I mean? But I'll sometimes listen to the Sunday morning news shows. I know they're biased, but I can sometimes tolerate the bias because I want to hear what people say. And sometimes people push back on it. I like that, too. Well, let's not pretend we actually have unbiased journalism anywhere. Now, there are places where you have independent journalism and they're doing investigative journalism. But that also comes with a bias. The bias there typically is the bias towards exposing the truth. Something that the corporate media doesn't do anymore. The corporate media has a bias against investigative journalism. That's why they're always trying to shut down investigative journalists like Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger and these other people, because they're a threat to the establishment and the deep state and the swamp and all the other, the Leviathan, whatever term you want to use. They're a threat to that because they expose things like the government working to censor you during COVID or censor you about the Hunter Biden laptop story or whatever it is. Or the government working diligently to make sure that you can't say certain things. And I call it the unholy triad between the government, big tech, and the corporate media. They all work in collusion together. And then you have outliers, Elon Musk. But Elon Musk has a bias, obviously. And so does Schellenberger and Taibbi. Their bias used to be on the left. Bill Maher used to be on the left, too. Although Bill Maher gave a monologue this weekend talking about how Disney and Hollywood protects pedophilia and covers up for this and is grooming our children. And it reminded me of what Wilfred Riley said on the show on Friday. He said, you know, it's nice that Bill Maher's saying all these things, but it's kind of a little bit of a welcome to the party, pal, a little bit late to the party kind of moment. He's saying all these things now that we've been saying for years. But I think it's important nevertheless because he's reaching a different audience. But so it's refreshing to hear Bill Maher echo things that we've been saying for a long time. Every time somebody comes out like him and he's reaching a new audience by saying it, it's important and it shouldn't be dismissed because more people are going to hear it that because they don't listen to maybe this show or other shows like it, for example. But bias exists everywhere, all over the place. Joe Biden won't come on the show, for example. Like, some people are like, well, Trump would never do an interview with, I don't know, some idiot on Twitter said something like he would never do an interview with name somebody. I don't know. Well, Biden's not coming on my show. You think Biden we'll invite him. He's welcome to come on. And I'll have a chat with him. You think he'll do it? you think Biden will come on? Probably not. Why? Because I have a bias against the man. I think he should not be president. So if I were his people, I would advise him not to come on my show. I would advise him not, because he's not going to, I mean, get a fair shake. I'll ask him questions that I would presume to be fair. Like, for example, why are you intentionally trying to destroy America's energy independence? I think that's a fair question. Or why are you trying to flood America with illegal immigrants? Or why, or like a kind question, like a lighthearted family question, like what's your favorite flavor of pudding that you eat at night before you go to bed? But his people would not allow that to happen. I mean, you wouldn't let, why would you let the man come on this show? So they'll pretend like he'll go on other shows. Well, he doesn't do anything anymore, but he used to. But he won't do anything. He won't even do the Super Bowl interview with Norah O'Donnell. Norah O'Donnell is somebody who has bias on the left, but at least Norah O'Donnell prides herself on trying to look like she's up the middle, you know, like calling it balls and strikes. And I try to call balls and strikes when it comes to politics, when I give you my analysis of things. And I've said Trump's been wrong before on things in the past, but he knows that. And I've told him that. I've told him that to his face before on things. But the difference, though, is that Joe Biden can't even do an interview with Norm O'Donnell during the Super Bowl. And that's a point that James Carville raised. And when James Carville came out and said, you got a problem if the guy can't even do an interview during the Super Bowl. Like, that's an issue. Joe Biden wouldn't do the show for two reasons. Number one, he can't do interviews anymore unless they are prepackaged the way that Sage Steele had to do it with ESPN. Norm O'Donnell is not going to agree to that because that would hurt her brand as a journalist. And every journalist, even the ones that pride themselves on being up the middle, have a bias, and her bias skews left, obviously. She's not as bad as others, but she's not going to agree to just all the questions. Sage Steele regrets doing that now, but it was not a hard-hitting interview on ESPN. You know what I mean? It wasn't a hard-hitting interview. Biden can't do interviews. Biden can't talk to the press. Every time he starts to talk to the press, they start doing that whole thing where they go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and they shut everybody down. Or they play orchestra music, and they try to take the guy off the side of the stage like he's an actor getting the Best Actor Award at the Academy Awards, or Best Supporting Actor, the lesser category, and they want to get him off the stage because he's gone on too long. So the orchestra music drowns him out. Or even worse, the people that get those awards that nobody cares about. And then those people go on for more than 30 seconds. They just start banging on the drums and they do that with the president of the United States when he starts talking, or he does that Roomba thing where he walks away from the podium and he comes right back and starts talking again when they think it's over and they pop the music up louder. You don't do that to the president. Typically, what you do is you turn the music down. The president's decided he wants to say some more things. But at this point now, he's totally off script. So they're terrified. There's a big lump in their throat and their heart. And they go, oh, man, this is not going to go well. So they shut it down immediately. That's a problem for the president of the United States of America. And it's also unfair to the voters, too. And it's unfair what they're doing to Trump, because if we're worried about democracy, I keep hearing about this, all these threats everywhere, that Trump is a threat to democracy. Well, it's a general election. Tomorrow's a Pennsylvania primary. Shouldn't he be able to be out with the voters and talking to them and making his case? Isn't that unfair to democracy to keep the Republican nominee for president of the United States of America off the playing field? I mean, I think it is. And I'm sorry, but if that sounds biased, but I mean, I just think it is. It's completely unfair to do. And I'm sure that all the people that are writing their cute little hashtags today about me interviewing Trump, I'm sure that if Biden was sitting in a jail or a courthouse in Alabama and not allowed to campaign in Pennsylvania today, you'd be saying the exact same things. You'd find it unconscionable that the incumbent president who's running for re-election can't be out there campaigning. You could act like you wouldn't, but you know you would deep down inside. Of course you would. Everybody's got bias in life. Everybody does. It's just a matter of what degree and how honest you are about it. What I can't stand are phonies. I got a real problem with phonies. That's why George Stephanopoulos drives me crazy, because everybody can see the guy's bias so evident, so clear. So I call him the unbiased journalist, because it's ironic. You know, it's funny. He's not unbiased, obviously. You can't be. You ran Clinton's campaign. You were a Democrat operative and strategist your entire life. Chuck Todd worked on Democrat campaigns. These people are not unbiased, but we have to pretend like they are because they're the corporate media. So then you have these crop of new independent journalists, and they were at one point, I think, they skewed left. Now their eyes have been awakened to what the left does in terms of trying to control information and disinformation and tell you what the truth is and tell you what the truth isn't. That guy from NPR is a great example of this. He said NPR lost the trust when NPR started telling people how to think. Now, that's fine to tell people how to think if you're telling them that you're telling them how to think. Like, I'm telling you how to think. I want you to think like I do. But I'm not pretending otherwise. I'm not coming on here for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, most weeks, and telling you that I'm just giving you things to think about. You think about it on your own. No, I'm telling you what I think is right. And I'm telling you you should start thinking like I do so that you can have clarity in your life. But I'm honest about it. And NPR is not. NPR pretends otherwise while they're doing that very thing, and then wants everybody to be fooled into believing that they're this middle-of-the-road national public radio when they're state-run media, funded by taxpayer dollars. But give me a break. So honesty and integrity is everything. And I'll tell you one thing. If I had an opportunity to speak to Mike Johnson, for example, the Speaker of the House, I'd ask him, why are you acting like a Democrat? Why are you acting like a Democrat, for example, by pushing Ukraine funding and now you, this TikTok ban, which is going to give the government more power over the internet and social media and is the Patriot Act in sheep's clothing? And why are you acting this way? I would ask him that. That's not an unbiased question. It's a very biased question, actually, because I think the speaker is not acting like a conservative. But I guess some people that don't like him would say that that's unbiased. I don't know. I don't really care. Point is, I just ask what I think and what I want to hear an answer to. It's how I like to do things. Now, if I want an answer to something, I'll ask that question. But I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend. And the other thing that I can't stand more than anything is when people in life try to be something in public and they're different about it in private. That I don't like. It's like, and I've said this to you before, I can't come on here for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, most weeks, and sit here for 4 hours and BS you and then go home and be a totally different guy. I don't know how anybody can do that. That just to me sounds exhausting. It's a lot of work. And you got to remember what you said so you don't say something that you didn't mean to say. And it's exhausting, quite frankly. But anyway, so we got a lot to chat about today, and Trump will be, and the interview was recorded because I had to talk to him last night. So what happened is Caroline and Margot reached out to me on Saturday, and we were doing a little party for Reagan in the backyard. So we had a little pizza party for her, and they texted me. They said, hey, would you want to talk to the president tomorrow at 6:40 p.m.? I said, sure. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll make it work. And I knew it right away. I was kind of bummed. Because Sunday fun day, and by 6:40, I'm already a good bottle of homemade red wine in. So I had to wait on that, obviously. And I was a little bummed by that. You're like, you're cramping my style, man, but okay. And then yesterday, he was running late a little bit, you know, Trump time. So it was 7 o'clock, and we recorded the interview. And I'm going to play it today at 5. And probably, again, at 6:45. But I'm telling you that also because I'm honest about it, because I don't want you to think that it's live, because that would be deceptive. And he says in the interview, my trial tomorrow. So, but I'm sure that if he had the opportunity to call in today, he would. I don't think he was planning on getting out of court before 5 o'clock. I don't think anybody thought that the trial was going to end, or today, the first day of the trial was going to end so early. I mean, so yeah, we'll chat about that. And then the other thing I want to talk about, too, is that as we are watching the Republican Party go backwards, the only thing I can hope is that by the time he gets in there, they'll move back into the direction that he was taking the party, which is away from all this foreign aid and waking up to what the deep state is capable of and the spying on everybody. So I'll ask Trump about FISA. I did. And I'll ask him about the efforts to undermine him and why. And I'll ask him, too, about why it is that it seems. Well, I got to remember the question. I forgot it. That's OK. You'll hear it. You'll hear it yourself. 855-839-1210. And that's the big story of the day, that I'll play the interview with Donald Trump a little bit later in the show. President Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, former. I know people's heads are going to explode. And that's brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A. VanariaDental.com. He's the man. In fact, I saw him yesterday. His daughter was doing this great thing where she was raising money for women who were victims of domestic abuse. And we went and dropped off some things for her. And Dr. Mike was there and got to see Bridget and the kids and everything. So it's really nice. He's a terrific guy. And he's got a great family, really great family. All right, for a greener, healthier lawn that's safer for your family and pets, you got to call my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. I've been a customer for years, and you're going to love the results. Natural Lawn has been creating green lawns quickly, more naturally, and with fewer weeds for over 35 years. Their certified specialists tailor their treatments to your lawn's specific needs. Now, this environmentally friendly approach reduces the need for chemicals and creates a safer lawn for your family and pets. Natural Lawn is locally owned and family operated in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. They're competitively priced, and you have a satisfaction guarantee. So trust the leader in organic-based lawn care. I do, and I've trusted them for years. Give them a call today. New customers can take advantage of Natural Lawn's unbeatable offer, but you must act now because the offer expires at the end of the month. So schedule Natural Lawn's full service program and they will seed your lawn every year free of charge. Call 800-FREE-SEED, 1-800-FREE-SEED, or visit naturallawn.com to learn more. Choose my lawn care company. And I.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know. All your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Love the fact that everything they do is tailored to your lawn. That's why the Natural Lawn of America difference matters and works to such a great degree. Natural Lawn of America, greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
The Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, so let's go through what happened today in court, first of all, in the first day. And there is a really good piece about this, too, about David Pecker. David Pecker, Alvin Bragg's first witness. And Andy McCarthy, I know he was on with Dom earlier today and he talked about this, but this is essentially what the outline of all this is. All right, this is what they're trying to do. And Andy McCarthy said it best. He said, Alvin Bragg is an election denier. Alvin Bragg's an election denier. Alvin Bragg does not want to admit that Donald Trump won the election. Alvin Bragg, election denier. The Trump indictment is Bragg's version of Stop the Steal regarding the 2016 election. And he said similar things on my show before, Andy McCarthy has. But this is what you have to understand. Says, you know, Donald Trump was going to land in a criminal trial about election denialism. You just didn't know it was going to be about the 2016 election. And that's where we are. The election denier is Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, not Donald Trump. So Alvin Bragg does not accept the results of the 2016 election. So he believes that had the world known the truth about Stormy Daniels' allegation, Donald Trump would have lost the election. That's his theory. That's what he believes. Now, there's no way to prove that. In other words, if somebody says an election was stolen or rigged because there were votes that were improperly obtained, you know, people, dead people voted. I mean, those are you can quantify that numbers. If election machines were rigged, if ballots were dropped off that were illegal, you can quantify those things. To argue that if somebody had only known this, the result would have been that is not something you can qualify. You don't know the answer to that question. That's a theory. So Alvin Bragg's theory is, hey, if people had known the truth about Stormy Daniels' allegation, he would have lost the election. There's no way to prove that. You can't prove that. How could you? But that's the basis of everything. That's where we're starting here. So Alvin Bragg does not accept the results of the 2016 election. So since he doesn't accept those results, like anybody who can't accept reality, they try to find a reason for it, an excuse for it. Well, it would have happened except for this. Now, it's like you break up with somebody and you're like, well, it would have worked except for the fact that, he couldn't keep his promises. He couldn't tell the truth. But whatever excuse you want to use for why it didn't work, couldn't work, and you can go back and say, but it would have worked if only this would have happened or that would happen. You don't know that. You tell yourself that to make yourself feel better. You know, marriage ends, you look back and go, and if only I had given her flowers more often. Well, maybe it would have worked. Maybe not. Maybe she would have still thrown you out. Who knows? You don't know. That's the point. But you tell yourself these things to make yourself feel better. If only I could have done this. If only I had just done that, this one thing at work. If I had just maybe been nicer to everybody at the office, I still might have a job today or something. You tell yourself that. It's not, maybe not the case. But we all have to tell ourselves things in life so we can psychologically deal with reality. And that's how we as human beings cope with bad news and things we don't like. Well, for Alvin Bragg, he doesn't like the fact that Trump won. So Alvin Bragg, the way he deals with it, the way he helps his mind process that is by saying, if only America knew the Stormy Daniels allegations, and then he would have lost. It's his version of the sour grapes. You know, I don't want those grapes. They're sour anyway. I don't want to deal with that. I don't like it. So that's what he tries to tell himself, make himself feel better. Hillary Clinton does the same thing. Now, if only the Russians had not gotten involved in that election, I'd be president today. I would have broken the glass ceiling once and for all and been the first woman president. She also blames 67 other entities, too. She does not blame her own crappy campaign, though, however, and her extreme unlikability. She doesn't blame the fact that they didn't campaign in the Rust Belt or that their whole message was Trump's mean and he's going to start World War III. She doesn't blame her own campaign. People don't often blame themselves. That's another problem that people do in life sometimes. What they'll do is when they're at fault, particularly narcissists, when they're at fault with something, they'll blame externalities. You know, instead of realizing that they're the problem, they'll blame something else. In Hillary Clinton's case as well, if the Russians had stayed out of it, I would have won. No, people don't like you. Nobody likes you. And you ran a crappy campaign. So the blame goes to you. Your campaign stunk. You let a guy in Brooklyn named Robbie Mook, Robbie, what kind of grown man goes by Robbie? I have no idea. You let Robbie run your campaign from a brownstone in Brooklyn. Couldn't be further removed from the working class people of Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio. And that's why you lost. But blame the Russians. Blame another. It's easier sometimes to blame somebody else. You know, if you're a terrible husband and your wife leaves you, it's just you blame her. Well, she doesn't realize it. Why don't you maybe you weren't around enough. Maybe you took her for granted. Maybe you were not a loyal husband. I mean, but instead, it's easier just to project blame on somebody else. So Alvin Bragg, in his mind, it's not that the Democrats lost or that Trump won. It's that Stormy Daniels' truth, had it come out, would have changed hearts and minds, and he would have lost that election. So this criminal case is built on that theory. That is an unprovable theory. Much like how you can't say for sure your wife would have stayed with you or that your husband wouldn't have left or that you'd still have a job. You don't know, but you tell yourself that to make yourself feel better. Or you blame an external force because it's easier than accepting the blame, the responsibility. In this case, for Alvin Bragg, it would be accepting the Democrat Party is loco and people liked Trump in 2016 a whole lot more than they liked Hillary Clinton. So instead of accepting that, looking inward, taking personal responsibility, it's easier to project. But he hid the truth about an allegation by a porn star. That's it. That's the basis of the case. Now, campaigns deal with this all the time, as I mentioned to you. They have to sit around the table, and campaign operatives who get paid a lot of money have to have debates with themselves about how they handle opposition research. Op research is done on the opponent, and it's also done on the candidate. And the same guy does it. And he knows where the bodies are buried. So that same guy knows, for example, that, well, you know, you had a bankruptcy discharge 10 years ago. It could come out. And the campaign sits around the table and strategizes on how to deal with it. Do we want to let people know and turn it around as a success story? You know, we overcame this financial challenge like millions of Americans have. Or do we want to just bury it, make it go away? Well, there's this author out there who's writing a piece about it. Really? What would it take for that author not to write the piece? I don't know. You'd find out. Well, let's have our friend here who owns a magazine buy the rights to the story. Yeah? Just offer him. Offer him. See what he wants. So the guy calls up a local reporter who's writing a story about a candidate's bankruptcy from 10 years ago and says, hey, I know you got this story. We'd like to have it. What would it take for you to give us the rights to it? And the guy says, $50,000, which is a lot of money, especially if you're a journalist, right? 50 grand. Okay, fine. We'll pay you 50 grand. You have to sign a non-disclosure agreement that we never had this conversation. You never know about, you don't know anything about this, and you never knew anything about this. And then in exchange for that, we'll give you the money. Done. Guy gets his 50 grand, signs the NDA. That is a perfectly legal transaction. Perfectly legal transaction. Somebody knows a story about the candidate who got drunk at a bar one night, beat the crap out of somebody, guy broke his jaw, landed in the hospital, and the guy knows the story about that, and he comes to the campaign, he says, I'm going to tell everybody about that unless you give me $25,000. Well, I could call the FBI and say that you're trying to extort us, but I'll give you the 25 grand. You have to sign this non-disclosure agreement saying, we never have this conversation, you agree not to talk about it, the bar fight never happened as far as you're concerned. Done. Perfectly legal transaction. In Alvin Bragg's mind, though, a crime was just committed because if only those things had come out, those candidates would have lost. Now, assume for a moment those candidates did lose, even though they took all these steps to cover up the bad news from coming out. Then how do you explain that? You can't. It didn't matter. There were other things that made the candidate lose. Or imagine that they paid all the money and the story came out anyway. And the candidate won. So then how do you then go, well, if the truth had only come out, it did come out. We don't know if the Stormy Daniels story had come out, if that would have changed things. We don't know the answer to that. Neither does Alvin Bragg. But to win a campaign, to argue that it's election interference to try to make a candidate look good and hide the bad things that candidate may or may not have done would mean that every politician is guilty. I'm telling you, I've worked on campaigns my entire life. Every single one of them had something in their past, a skeleton in their closet. And I'm not saying all of them were nefarious. Sometimes it's a vote. Sometimes it's a vote they really regret. You know, you hope to hell it never comes out. A vote that this person took on an issue that vote could be spun to make them seem like a liberal as they're running in a conservative primary, for example. Under Alvin Bragg's theory, not only can you not try to hide that from coming out, I guess you have an obligation to disclose it. Now, there's nothing in the law that says that. There's no bad news statute or bad news amendment in the Constitution that says if a candidate has an accusation, whatever it is, you have an obligation to let the people know that if you want to become president of the United States. Like I mentioned to you, there's no Gumata amendment to the Constitution. Or some woman comes forward and alleges an extramarital affair with you and you have to tell everybody, otherwise you're not qualified to be president. Doesn't exist. And there's nothing in the law that says candidates have to tell us all the bad things they've done in their life. And then how far back do you go? Is it like the scene in Goonies where Chunk is crying because he talks about how he was lied in first grade and the Fratellis are sitting around? You can't believe the one guy loves the kid, but the mom's getting mad. See what I mean? How far back do you go in terms of airing out all the dirty laundry of the candidate? Sixth grade, what's the rule? Who knows? Because it doesn't exist. But you hire really good people on a campaign to find out what dirt could come up and then how to navigate the different scenarios if it does, or what steps you have to do to make sure it doesn't. Or maybe you just want to get ahead of it and put it out there yourselves. I've been involved in those conversations many times. And in Alvin Bragg's mind, all of those things were crimes. All of those things were election interference because we let the voters believe this candidate was a good candidate. And we didn't tell them all the bad things that they've done in their life, including bad votes they've made or the time they didn't vote in a general election or the time that they didn't go to church or the time whatever. I don't even know what standard you use. The time they didn't eat all their vegetables, the time they left broccoli on their plate. This is the argument here. This is what this case is built on. It's that by making a candidate look good and hiding the potential problems that could be there for a candidate, you've now committed election interference. Something I'm telling you that would mean that every politician in America is guilty of a crime and should be in prison. You'd have to start building more prisons. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. I'm so excited. We are going to be back live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, Friday, May 3rd. It's a week from Friday. Super excited. I hope you're going to join us for that. It's going to be a great show. And if you want to de-stress, enjoy life, take in the ocean air, make lifetime memories with your family and friends, then you should book a getaway at my happy place, the beautiful oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Book a June midweek stay and save. Stay three nights, you're going to get $60 a night in resort credit. Stay five nights, you're going to get $70 a night. Stay seven nights and receive $80 a night in resort credit. You can use your resort credits to make purchases of food and beverages in Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, their beach concession stand, or in the gift shop where you can get passes for a whale-watching boat cruise. Always book direct with the Grand for the best rates. The Grand is the perfect place to host a wedding, corporate event, baby and bridal shower. With four ballrooms, they have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. Just call and ask to talk to my friend Caitlin, and she will help you have your dream event. To book your stay today at the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, call 800-257-8550 or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. And mark your calendar. Friday, May 3rd. We'll be down there. Live show. Lot of fun. Lot of laughs from 3 to 7 p.m. And I want to see you there. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Oh, yes. Here we go. A lot to chat about today, as you can imagine. And we continue with the coverage of this trial. I think Andy McCarthy does a fantastic job of making it clear everything that is happening in this case, that Alvin Bragg is the election denier. And also, too, the fact that he has no jurisdiction in this case. Because if it's a federal case, then it should be handled by the feds. And the feds did not prosecute this case. So that's the thing. A business records falsification indictment against Trump that Alvin Bragg, the Paragon progressive prosecutor, would bring against no one but a political enemy. The impropriety that Bragg, a state prosecutor, is purporting to enforce federal campaign law without a peep of protest from the collusive Biden Justice Department in a matter that both the DOJ and the Federal Election Commission, which are the federal authorities with actual jurisdiction over the matter, decided not to pursue against Trump. The fact that Bragg is accomplishing this by making up his own version of what federal law requires, again, without any pushback from the feds. Although you can only imagine the howling we'd be hearing if this were being done to a Democrat. I mean, it's like I said, I mean, imagine if Joe Biden was on trial in Alabama, deep red Alabama, wasn't able to come to Pennsylvania and campaign. And the fact that this criminal case mirroring New York Attorney General Letitia James' outrageous civil fraud case against Trump involves an alleged fraud scheme in which the state can prove no fraud victims. I.e. Trump is charged with falsifying his records with fraudulent intent, but the state is not claiming that anything or anyone, including the state itself, lost a penny, meaning there are no victims. There are no victims in this case. So that's a key point to understand. Now, Joe Biden just had a big press conference, or not a press conference, excuse me, gave a big speech. He and his buddy Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the two of them, and they're rolling out solar panels and the Climate Conservation Corps, paying young people to help indoctrinate America in climate change. And it's nonsense. And I'll share some of that audio with you upon my return. And then we'll play the interview with President Trump a little bit after 5 o'clock today. So don't go anywhere. But I want to tell you about my dentist, my friend, Dr. Mike Veneria. Mama Zeoli first discovered him for our family. But Dr. Mike is our entire family dentist. The master of implant dentistry, the master of making you look and feel your greatest with a million-dollar smile. I recommend you book an appointment with Dr. Mike today. I've been telling you about Dr. Mike for years. My entire family goes to Dr. Venaria because the level of care and commitment to dental excellence that Dr. Mike and his staff delivers to every patient is unmatched. He's been delivering results that surpass expectations that have made him a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. So, if you've been on the fence about getting that dental procedure done, please reach out to Dr. Mike today. You have a choice, a clear choice for you and your family. So give Dr. Venaria a call. I promise you won't be disappointed. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or visit venariadental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A. VenariaDental.com. He's my buddy, he's my friend, and he's the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.